Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships. Hey, welcome to the first episode of Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. I'm Benita.
And I'm Ellis.
So our show is all about love, life, and relationships. So this is a conversation that we have a lot of times. Ellis is a great friend to me, and we talk a lot about love. We talk about relationships, and not just man-woman relationships, I mean, intimate relationships, but just people, you know, how we get along and how we interact with each other. And, hey, we out here living this life, so of course we talk about life, right?
Say that. Say that part right there, living this life.
So expect to hear from us. We're going to start out every other week talking to you about an hour, and we're going to set up an email address and everything at some point for you to chime in. But you can find me on Facebook at Benita Johnson or at the Vine Wine Club. And, you know, so if you got comments or such, feel free to hit me up. And Ellis, you want them to be able to find you?
Not really, but they have to find me. You can find me on Facebook at what is it? Ellis ODU Henderson, and Instagram is the first Ellis OH, and email is docnoop509@gmail.com. And I'm just looking forward to this conversation and this journey with my sister. And I am representing a man's perspective on love, so don't hate me, sisters. I'm just trying to keep it 100, you know, as best I know how.
That's what we're going to do. Keep it real. So I posed a question today based on a conversation that I was having with a neighbor yesterday. And it's about soulmates. And we use that term a lot. But the question is, and throw the question out there, and then we're going to come back and we're going to dissect the question. And we're going to come up with our best answers, because our answers are not exclusive. They may not be right, but they're our opinions based on our experiences. So here's the question, Ellis. Can you have a soulmate outside of your marriage?
Can you have a soulmate outside of your marriage? You know, the beauty of life, I think you can have anything you want to have. So if you want to have a soulmate outside of your marriage or relationship, I think it's plausible. I guess you got to define, you know, what soulmate is and extent of a soulmate to make sure that we're you know, you're within the fidelity realm of relationships.
Okay, fidelity.
So we're talking about an emotional soulmate, an intimate soulmate, intellectual soulmate, or a spiritual soulmate. How are we defining soulmate?
That's a great question. Because so basically, I think just based on what we just said, soulmate does not have to include intimacy.
Correct.
Right. So if that is the final answer, we know it isn't. If that is the final answer, then that should be a yes. You can have this person outside of your marriage.
I guess I would also ask the question, why would you need a soulmate outside of your marriage?
Well, I've been married before.
Me too. Me too. Hashtag me too.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, you could love this person, but, and it could be us, but I'm just going to put it out there. You can love this person, but sometimes this person is no longer meeting all of your needs, not just physical, but the mental, the intellectual stimulation, just the interest. You know, sometimes I think when we're married, I was married for 18 years. I think when we're married, we get real caught up in life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget about each other. Like, we know the responsibilities that we have to each other. But at the end of the day, once the responsibilities are done, we're not coming back to that love space. You know, we go to bed because we're tired,
right.
You know,
right.
Or we have sex because there's a physical need,
right.
But it's not a love space that you sometimes just sit down and talk with and listen to.
Well, I would argue when we speak about soul, it has to be some kind of spiritual component. And if it's a spiritual component, then one thing that we're not doing, we're not entering into relationships with individuals we're spiritually compatible with. What I mean by spiritually compatible is someone that you can have an intimate, you know, in-depth conversation about whatever, whether it's wine, whether it's gardening, whether it's about relationships or sports, and you just click. It's just like, okay, this person now we vibe, we think alike. I don't know if a soulmate can take place without some kind of spiritual compatibility or component. And I don't think we've been taught to explore that spiritual experience or journey with individuals, because it's always physical, it's always perhaps emotional. So with that being said, I think it's possible, and I'm sure it has happened. I just don't know how safe it is.
Yeah, because I was thinking too, like once you meet somebody outside of your spouse with all of these components,
right,
you
know, right.
I think it almost is natural or feel natural to take that last step to dive into the physical realm, mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. know. So it is dangerous.
But it's also intriguing. I think the whole concept of having, you know, this quote-unquote soulmate outside of, I like to expand and say even outside of our relationships with our partners. You know, because the notion is once you get married, that you know, you really should not have friends that, you know, that your wife or husband.
Is that
know.
A notion? I failed that. You know, that could be, I failed me, it. Me Let me write that down.
About 10 times over. But again, it goes back to, you know, established relationships with individuals we have something in common with beyond the physical. You know, how many people are we married to have we have an intellectual attraction to? I recall this person in a college, our relationship was completely intellectual. And I would say she was my soulmate intellectually. We could never pursue anything beyond that for many reasons. But when we got together, it was as if the world opened up. She was from Morocco, and we talked about everything. She was in a relationship, and I was kind of seeing somebody. But as I think about soulmates and what we had in common, and though she, you know, she was a Muslim, I was a Christian, we just clicked in how we saw the world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I haven't seen her in many years. So when I think about that, I think about that relationship. Her name was Nadia. Okay.
If you're listening, Nadia, he gave you all his contact points. He'll be sweating. I'm about to hose him off.
Nadia, boy. But I say that because we would sit and talk. You know, we would just talk about everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we would watch the sunrise. We went to an Indian reservation, we talked, and we walked around campus and we talked. It was never anything more than a hug, but we just clicked on every single thing. Every single thing.
So, because you know, like a lot of times, like married folks who work in like a, you know, a traditional job setting, mm-hmm. they'll say, you know, this is my work husband, or this is my work wife, or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's okay. That's acceptable, right?
Is it? Because I think the only thing that's stopping these people from taking this stuff further sometimes is location, because you at work. Yeah. And if you had that opportunity to, you know, not be at work. I mean, things happen at work travel and, you know, conventions and stuff.
There's something about working with somebody or working through something with somebody that conjures up feelings of connection. So I think when you have these work spouses, because you're working on the same goal and feelings occur. Mm-hmm. You know, and then people want to take possession of that. That's my husband. You know, that's my wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And sometimes these people go to lunch together every day or, you know, he brings the coffee. I bring coffee to my desk every morning. You know, stuff like that. I need to go back to work. Need a job.
No, it's funny because I had a friend of mine and his wife referred to his secretary as his work wife. And she would always say to him, no, I'm not your work wife. I have her do that. But then something began to transpire between
the husband and the work wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if the wife ever took in consideration her deflecting off on the work wife, and maybe that caused some things to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's, I just think when we start throwing around titles and labels, you know, things can start to formulate in the atmosphere, and they can trickle down to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think a man needs a whole lot of room to be reckless.
Women either. Yeah, don't. Listen. I think we do this better. Honestly, sorry, sisters.
Much better, much more intelligent, much more savvy, manipulative, strategic, yeah. Methodical, you know.
Because I was telling a brother the other day, you know, we already know, you know, shortly after we meet you, what's going to happen.
Speak on that.
We already know. I mean, because, yeah, we already know. We already sizing this whole thing up. We know what's going to happen down the road with this. We already know if we're going to give you some. I'm just putting it out there when we first meet you.
I had a friend tell me last night, her husband, she said she told her best friend, you know, I think I just met my husband. And I was shocked because when she said that, she was in a relationship with my roommate at the time.
Okay.
College roommate. But obviously, this person that she married has such a profound impact on her. And they're married today after 27 years.
Okay.
And she never told me that story. I'm like, we've been friends for like 31 years and I've never known this story. But she said there was a connection they made that though they went a long time without talking to each other, once they saw each other again 4 years later, it just blossomed to what it is now. So I think you can have a soulmate outside of whatever relationship or commitment you're in, but I don't know, is that planned? Is that orchestrated?
I don't think the soulmate thing is planned. I think that's something that develops and grows, because I don't know if you know that right away. You know, I think there are some things you can know right away to say, okay, I'm digging this. I'm feeling this person. I believe in energy and vibes. So I'm feeling his or her energy. I'm feeling these vibes. So I'm intrigued. I'm coming back tomorrow, you know.
Well, do you remember Little Rascals?
Yes.
Remember how Alfalfa will always refer to Darla as his soulmate?
Yes.
But Darla didn't refer to Alfalfa as...
She won't feel him.
She was fooling with everybody else.
Yeah, Butch.
Butch, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if the soulmate is a one street. Does it have to be, you know, both ways?
Because
I think Alfalfa always looking for love in all the wrong places, right? But he was pursuing Darla, referred to her as, you know, as his soulmate. But Darla was not interested in him at all.
No. She took the flowers, though. It's like she liked the nice things.
Attention. She liked the attention. Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. And so this is like a question for the ladies.
Right.
Like, because
right.
This happened. Like, I've had this experience, you know, back when I was dating the person that I ultimately married. You know, there was another person who, he showered me with attention. He was great. But I was thinking differently. You know, I know how I am. You know, I'm all over the place. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I got ideas, there's things I want to do. This person, although he was good, he was very stable, and he was never gonna understand this craziness that is Benita. This is a lot. Whereas the person that I married, he was just as high energy and coming up with ideas and want to do things and not afraid of the risk as I was. So, you know, I mean, he didn't treat me bad, but it wasn't like he was no Alfalfa.
So, in hindsight, I mean, is there a need for a yin and a yang, someone who has this high energy and someone to be like the anchor?
As long as the anchor doesn't try to quench the energy.
Right.
It's like
right.
The anchor can't throw water on the fire. Because that'll kill this person.
And so, as you say that, Darla was always throwing water on Alfalfa's fire. But he kept trying.
He was a quitter.
You know, so here he is, Alfalfa, thinking Darla is, you know, his soulmate. However, she didn't think that. So is the soulmate concept, is it mutual? Is it, I mean, how do you decide on whether or not this person is your soulmate? It's almost like I always question people say, well, I'm in love. But can you be in love by yourself? I mean, if you're in a space and that space is called love, don't you need someone else to be in love with you in that space?
To kind of feed that energy?
Right.
I think if not, you're going to get exhausted.
Exactly.
It's going to wear you out. I had my best friend one time. There was this guy, and I thought I was interested in him. And I was for that moment. And she told
soulmate for the moment.
Yeah, for the moment. I was interested. And she told me, she said, you're going to get tired. You know, she saw the energy wasn't coming back that I was willing to put out. She said, you're going to get tired. And she was right. And when, you know, I'm that person, when I get tired, you know, sometimes it ends ugly. You know, because I remember all of the stuff that I was putting in. And it's not that person's fault, it's my fault. Because I invest all of this.
Right.
And then when I get tired, it's bad. It's pretty ratchet.
I wonder how much that is attributed to, you know, you've been an empath. You know, because when you are investing something, well, and I can't speak for you, but I know you're a giver.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're giving unconsciously because that's who you are, but the person is not accustomed to someone giving to them authentically and unconditionally. And they can't receive it. Like Alfalfa was a giver. Mm-hmm. But Darla, she was great at receiving, but she was horrible at giving. Yeah. And I think that when you find these, you know, soul relationships, it has to be an egalitarian, you know, in terms of there's equal giving, not materially, but maybe just in energy. You know, I don't say energy, it's so overused.
But it is. It's energy.
It is energy.
Yeah.
It's about, I think, you know, when you meet your soulmate, the giving is equal. It's like, it's egalitarian. It's like, she's giving, he's giving, you know, we're just rolling with it.
So, do you know that book, and I can't think of the author now, but it's the Five Love Languages.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you looking like that?
I have a problem with someone telling me, you know, God, I'm sorry.
But we all have a love language.
Yeah, we all have a love language. Okay. But I got into an argument with someone because I was like, you know, those five love languages are not mine. Okay. And they were like,
one of them?
You know, it gotta be.
Is one of them yours?
I forgot. I mean, what are they now?
They're like, words of affirmation, touch, spending time, gifts, and it's one more. Mine is not gifts. Mine definitely is the time, you know, attention, the spending time. That's what I like to receive. I can't think of the fifth one. So while we're looking it up, we're going to take a quick break and have some words from our sponsors. So we'll be right back. We're back with Love Wins with Alice and Benita. So we were talking about the five love languages. So I think we had a couple of them.
It's words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch.
Okay. So I'm definitely a quality time person. I like to talk. I like to be heard. I like the feedback. I like to listen to. I don't want to feel like I don't give that opportunity. Because actually, I'm frustrated when people don't talk back to me.
And I guess, I don't know which one this falls under, but my first love language is communication.
Okay. Okay.
It's honest communication. I don't care how it is, whether you're angry, just communicate. You can cuss me out, you know.
She said something.
You know, just communicate. And the second one is listening, being able to listen or be a good listener. You know, so when I was listening about these, hearing about these five love languages, I was like, these are tangible.
They're not enough.
They're not practical.
Yeah, they're not enough. So, I don't know. That could fall under... That could fall under quality time because you have to spend that time to even care about what somebody is saying.
Or about understanding. about forgiveness.
Are they love languages or are they just characteristics? I don't know.
I don't know. But, you know, you think of, well, for me, the words of affirmation. Oh, I guess it's on my nerves. The acts of service, receiving the gifts, quality time, and physical touch. I'm not sure if those, you know, they can be love language, but I think it's important for a relationship that you establish your own love language. You have your own working definition of what love is, so that when you disagree, you can come back to that definition, like, this is what we agreed upon.
Right, because when you don't do that, that's almost like a passive-aggressive way of behaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I know that you want me to communicate with you, and I won't talk to you for 3 days, you know, that could be perceived as passive-aggressive.
And so I would think that, just speaking on affairs, I'm not saying a soul relationship is an affair, but one of the attributes of affairs is that you're able to be your authentic self. So like in my marriage, I can be my authentic self, but when I'm out with this other person, I can just be my authentic self. And if you can't be your authentic self with the one you're supposed to be with, should you question where you are at that point in time?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not trying to be our authentic self, with our soulmate, you can be your authentic self. You can be completely transparent, I would assume.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you should be.
Should be.
Because, I mean, if not, you're not you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You got to be able to do that. And so it bothers me that I can't imagine being in a committed relationship, a marriage, that you can't be you. Who the hell is that person married to if you can't, if they're not? You get me? This is all I got. This is what you're going to get. The good, bad, and the ugly. You know, I'm a cuss sometimes. You know. Wow. So there are people who are in marriages, and you got a whole nother, you're doing a whole Oscar winning performance of Mr. Henderson.
King Kong ain't got nothing on me. I'm going to put y'all in Pelican Bay.
Imagine, wow, that must be like purgatory.
I mean, yeah,
because you're trapped inside. You, the real you, is trapped inside.
Yeah, and I think that not only is it purgatory, it creates internal trauma and paranoia because you are afraid to allow your authentic self to come out. It's almost like you're compartmentalizing your soul to appease those around you. And so when you find somebody that you vibe with, they just kind of like just go all in because it's like, I can be free.
Yeah.
And, but you know, it's, again, it goes back to why we partner with individuals in which we cannot be our authentic self. And I think it happened, and I'm guilty of it. But I also think that the whole concept of being a soulmate, that sometimes our heterosexual friends, you know, like I got some homeboys who, like, we just vibe, but can he be my soulmate? You know, we consider that, right? There's nothing, you know, sexual about it, but like I have a partner that him and I just, we don't agree on a whole lot, but when we get to being vulnerable, we understand.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I think I've always had those soulful kind of relationships with females outside of my primary relationship. And I'm not, and I think that, you know, people have been upset with that, you know, of those female soulful relationships I've had that were not, you know, they weren't intimate, but they were definitely more transparent than what I've had in my traditional marriage relationship.
So I'm similar. You know, I have very good relationships with males. I have some, you know, females who I adore. But it's typically the male friends that I have who know the most about me. So is that because, like, I attribute it to I was raised by my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm, you know, just comfortable with that type of dynamic. And with them, I can be myself. You know, just, you know, I go back to just who I've always been. This silly, you know, I ain't got to do my nails, you know, sometimes my toes go crazy, you know, but, you know, we just cool, you know, I'm not competing with them for anything.
Interesting. you know, there's certain things that I saw my mother do growing up. And like you, I was raised by my mother. I always saw her paint her nails or do her toes. She was always filing. But I saw her always reading a book. And so ideally, this soulmate that I envision has to have those attributes. You know, it's almost like, you know, you can be a lady, just, you know, I remember, like my mom always kept lotion in the purse, okay, or hand sanitizer, or a fingernail clipper, okay, or a Band-Aid.
So that's your measurable woman. You meet the sister. Okay. Let's play the pocketbook game. Do you have a Band-Aid? Check. Do you have lotion? Check.
You have a bobby pin.
Nope. Oh, sorry.
You have safety pins. This just happened to me. My mother came over to my house, and I said, "Mom, you have any safety pins?" And she was like, "Yeah, I got some in my bag." And my daughter's like,
Why, Grandma?
I'm like, I know you have them.
Why, Grandma?
And I was like, those are the things, you know, you're supposed to have.
No, you don't.
So I thought, it's irrelevant. But you start making up those, you know, those categories of what a woman's supposed to have, which I think prevents you from connecting, from having a soulful relationship, because yeah, she ain't got the bobby pins, or she ain't got no lotion. You know, it's the super stuff. It's stupid, superficial.
It is silly, but those are our first models of what the other person is and look like. Because like,
poor women I've dated. Poor women.
Was a great provider.
Forgive me, sisters. Forgive me.
Sorry, you didn't pass the pocketbook.
It won't personal.
He ignored you because your nails weren't done.
Pretty much. And your toes. And your hair. I want to talk about that. But yeah.
You just said a good time. This is COVID. Ain't nobody's hair done. Right.
So we talk about social relationships. What goes into this? I mean, why is this person my soulmate, and why isn't the person that I've committed to and set my vibe? Why is this person my soulmate?
Well, I think I have this thing about marriage, and those who get married young and they stay married, God bless them. I mean, they are, that's truly remarkable to me. But my experience, you know, we got married, you know, kind of young. And when we grew up, as we grew up, we didn't grow in the same direction. You know, we kind of grew this way. Still great friends today, but the growth wasn't the same. I think you're lucky when you grow in the same way.
Yeah.
And we pick crazy reasons to be married, you know, sometimes to people. You know, we just do it because, you know, some people do it just because they have a baby with that person. And, you know, it's easy to have a baby. Way easier it is than staying married. You know, some people do it for financial reasons, and that's not always sustainable. So, you know, I guess, you know, why do we pick this person to be married to without this person being our soulmate? Sometimes we already know that this person isn't our soulmate. Mm-hmm. We always trying to force the circle and the square.
Yeah, always.
It don't fit.
I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty. I had a friend tell me, he was just blunt. He's like, "You're always trying to make a woman be what you want her to be instead of who she is." He said, "Why don't you just find somebody who is what you want her to be? Stop trying to, you know,
yeah,
trying to
just the one don't work.
No, it don't work. You know,
we're not Play-Doh.
You know, no, not at all." And so I apologize, but I think that comes from not knowing what you want in a relationship, what you want in a marriage, and not feeling confident enough or knowledgeable enough to have a conversation about, this is a list of things, can I have, you know? Mm-hmm. Can I get my bobby pants? Nope, okay. Can I get my, you know, you have to have a conversation and communication about that. And then, again, it goes back to having a connection. We can agree to disagree. So in any soulful relationship, all my long-term soulful relationships, you've gone through moments of agreeing, and eventually someone will say, "Okay, nigga, I'm sorry." "Okay, nigga, you still got your panties in the wild. You still pissed off." I'm like, "No, we good. But then we talk about what happened, and we move on. Mm-hmm. So it has to be, you know, I think a soulful relationship only lasts a few days, right? It doesn't have to be long term, right?
if it's the soul, is it just a few days or is something that's forever? Like if Nadia showed up today, I'm sure you could click right back into wherever that left off 30 years ago. Mm. But, you know, I mean, because I think some relationships are built like that. Because you know how you hear these stories that, you know, these people met at 19, he went off to sea, you know, he fought in a war, and then they married other people, those people died, and then they come back together.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of it is nostalgia, but I mean, I think some of it is the soul. You never lost this person. I have a friend that when I was working in Raleigh, that was kind of his story. He was super in love with this lady, and his father, somehow the fathers got involved and they broke up. They both married other people. Mm. And this man's wife died, and the wife, the love of his life had sent a card, like when the wife was sick, and the wife, the sick wife, gave him the card, and he didn't want to open it, but it was from the love of his life.
Oh, God.
The wife died, he's now married to the love of his life, because her husband was, you know, abusive or whatever, they divorced. So I think in that case, That's beautiful. It That's is beautiful.
That's beautiful. I've heard of those kind of stories. I just don't know if it's, you know, for me. Because when people crit me, they don't ever see me again.
It's like, We're going to work on your exit strategy.
I'm done with you.
We're going to work on your exit strategy, Ellis. This is going to be counsel.
Burn bridges, mountains,
and
cliffs.
See, I don't burn bridges. Everybody I've ever dated or whatever is still my friends. We're going to work on your exit strategy.
You know, what I've learned as you talk about soulmates is that, you know, you have you can catfish somebody. You think that you're in a soulful relationship, and it's almost like, oh, that's not who I really. I mean, I'm playing this part for this moment, but this is not really who I am.
So, and does that happen in real life, or does that happen in this way that we're dating now? We're doing a lot online and social media.
I would say, in full transparency, that I've been guilty of catfishing people from a soulful perspective. Not intentionally, but you can realize that I was watching a movie, I can't think of the name of the movie, and the person got catfished, and I was like, oh, shucks, I've done that. But didn't know that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Like you're pretending to be, I won't say it's imposter syndrome, but you're pretending to be something unintentionally, but then you realize that's not really who you are.
Okay.
And so the person feels like they've been catfished or used or mistreated or whatever. Not that we were soulmates, but, you know, I can have more than one soulmate, right?
No.
No?
You can serve one Jesus.
You only have one soulmate?
I don't know.
In your life?
I mean, in your life, yes, but not, I don't know if you can have it simultaneously.
But that begs the whole question. Why are you married to someone who's not your soulmate?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that goes back. You know, I mean, the original question for our listeners is, can you have a soulmate outside of your marriage? So we've already determined that that's a yes. Now, is it healthy? That's a no. So now, what do you do with this person that you're married to? What do you do? How do you deal with this?
Well, you know, the good Christian religious person will say, you make it work, you know, to death do you part. If you're unhappy, y'all, you know, yada, yada, yada.
I don't think anybody would say I was a good Christian. I mean, I live my life. I'm good to people. But under the rules or what the parameters are biblically, I sin like everybody else.
I think anyone has a right to speak on what you are or are not. Because their judgment and their perspective of who you are and your relationship with God has nothing to do with none of their business.
So am I a bad Christian if I don't make this work? And I say, I'm not a good Christian.
You may be a good Christian for saving your life.
And saving theirs, right?
Right.
That's how I like to look at it.
Yeah. I think it's about perspective. And I think oftentimes we look at the glass half empty instead of half full. And I can say the first 50 years of my life, I was a half empty kind of guy.
Okay.
Now I'm just like, oh yeah, soulmates outside of marriage? Heck yeah. Glass is half full. Let's be happy.
Okay.
So let me go back and say, hey, I got a soulmate. but it has to be some honesty about why this person is your soulmate. So say if you met your soulmate and you go back to your partner, married, whomever you're with, and you say, hey, I've met somebody. And they ask you why. And you begin to tell them why this person is your soulmate. Is that an indictment of what they're not? Or is it an indictment of that?
It's what's missing.
It's what's missing. And can that be fulfilled? Can that what's missing, can it be brought together or found?
Listened to a sermon of a well-known bishop a few years ago, and he was saying that some of us are 10-gallon people, some people are 100-gallon people. And so if you're a 100-gallon person, and this person, your mate, your spouse, is only providing 60 gallons, you still need that other 40. You need, because you need 100 gallons. So you need that other 40. Now, I ain't saying that 40 is the intimate part, but that 40 might be, like you said, you like communication. Maybe that person, that's what this person comes with. This person is brutally honest with you. You know, will slice you up and can put a Ginsu knife. But this person is brutally honest with you. Maybe that's the 40%. And that's enough. So you can keep your 60% that you have at home, keep your home intact. But the 40% is outside.
You know,
is that bad?
I don't think that's bad. I was raised by my mother, my grandmother, and my great grandmother. Okay. And my mother was my heart. She was the driving force, she was determined. My great grandma gave me a sense of faith and perspective. My grandmother gave me a sense of faith and perspective. My great grandmother, she was hilarious, but she did not have a problem telling you what she thought of you.
Okay.
And so as I look at the relationships and hearing the whole gallon analogy, I've always had these three components, very seldom, if not ever, in one person. But there was always something that was missing that had me kind of peeping, looking outside the relationship I probably should have been in because something was missing. And I didn't know at the time what was missing, but as I was listening, you shared that analogy, I can clearly say that I was always looking for what was missing because that was the most important part to me. It's not that I wasn't appreciative of what I had, but what was missing was what I needed the most. And that's how the whole connection occurs because I'm a person, I need to be connected. I'm a Pisces, you know, I'm like water. I got to be connected. It has to be some fluidity to my relationships. And I think that when you're in a relationship with your soulmate, there is fluidity, there's honesty, there's transparency, there's trust, there's communication, and there's humor. We can laugh about stuff. Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break and give our sponsors some love, and we'll be right back with Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. We're back with Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. So on our break, we brought up something that Ellis had said earlier about the friends outside of marriage. So do the friends that we have when we're married have to be mutual friends to the couple?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think it's easier if they're, I mean, at least friendly and cordial, but you don't have to be my husband's friend.
No. And more importantly, I mean, as long as I know who the person is, mm-hmm. I'm cool. But at the same time, I don't think that you should be giving more emotional energy to that person than you give to your spouse.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think, no, you don't have to give the level of disclosure, but it should be something. No one should be feeling left out. Your spouse should not be feeling left out.
Yeah. I know I had, when I was married, we had friends. And so it was never like if I would go out drinking with one of my friends, my husband always knew where I was and he could come, you know, so if he showed up, you know, cool. You know, he knew who I was with and he knew him. You know, well enough. but he knew who I was with and where we were. So we were never in like any undisclosed locations or anything like that. That wasn't necessarily how the other side went, you know, because he had had a friend or two and I didn't know as much information. And I kept it respectful. Like, so if I was going to have drinks with you, we're going after work. I'm going to be home by 7:30 or 8. Right. You know, I'm not going to be out with my friend until 1 and 2 in the morning. Right, I wasn't going to do that. So I think you can. Just,
you know, I'll say this. My biggest problem with that is it was always a double standard. Like, as a man, I'm not allowed to have female friends. Or if someone didn't like my wife, and I wasn't allowed to be friends with her, right?
even if that person has some valid reasons,
you know what I mean? So that's a double standard. Like, you know, or you can still be friends with some dudes that I don't typically like, who I know, you know, hitting on you,
yeah,
or feel a certain way about you, but I can't be friends, you know, with females,
right?
You know what I mean? So it has to be an understanding. It can be a double standard, because I think relationships, we always tolerate double standards. Love language, no double standards.
We're going to rewrite the book. We're going to rewrite.
No hypocrisy.
We're going to do a whole different love language.
This is good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Mm-hmm. So I think you should have relationships outside of your marriage, friendships, whatever. More importantly, your spouse does not have to know them. In terms of a friendly, we can be friendly, but you ain't got to be my friend. I mean, I can dap you up, but like, you ain't got to sit and kick it.
Because
I may not like you. I may think you're a cornball. You know, and you may think I'm a cornball. That's cool.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, I lost my train of thought that quickly, but that's common. What was I about to say? I don't know. I lost it. It'll come back in a second. Wow, I hate when it happens. So, what you having for dinner?
It's the sign of it, you know, it's the 50s. It's the 50s.
It's the clearly, 50s. I have this product called Brain that I usually squirt in my mouth. I haven't had Brain for like 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like a whole bunch of, it does. It's like a whole bunch of vitamin B. And vitamin B is supposed to be good for mental function.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like a gigantic dose of vitamin B. Mm. So I need it, apparently.
I may need some, too.
Yeah, it was something that you just said that kind of triggered.
About having a relationship.
Oh, it's more, all right. So you said that, you talked about the equality and what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But it's almost like society, we have to unlearn a lot of things. Because, you know, you look at society, you know, coming way up, you know, let's just go back to the 50s, so 70 years or so, you know, where the women were kind of home, you know, or in the home more. And so, you know, the men were the hunters. They killed food, they worked, and they brought home the money. But they could do more, and they, you know, they had the voice in the house, pretty much. And so, you know, then at some point in the 70s, I guess, you know, we became a little bit more out there. You know, we got introduced to corporate in a big way. Mm-hmm. And so we started making money. And, you know, as we transitioned, we're still not making as equal money, but we're making money. And in some households, we're making more.
Black women make all the money.
Well, I missed it. I'm black. Where's my 40 acres and a view?
Women get all the, you know, that's all the conversations.
We're gonna write that down for next time.
Yeah,
but you know, I do, you know, how do we unlearn that what's good for the goose is good for the game? That's a lot of unlearning.
Oh gosh. I think that we have been misinformed, you know, on a deeper level. It's almost as if we've been lied to as it pertains to what is fair, what is not fair, how to communicate, you know, how to listen. And so we do have to unlearn all of that mess. I don't think that we really consider what we don't know about love and relationships and life and communication, but we're always attempting to, you know, insert our opinion or impose our opinion on another person, assuming that they're going to agree or think or hear or listen, you know, the way we do. Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's important you have a you know, honest conversation about where's this relationship going. This is how I hear. This is how, you know, I see things. But more importantly, being able to understand where a person is coming from.
Yeah.
And why you need to have a life outside this relationship. I mean, you need it.
Yeah.
Well, wow. I won't say you need it. I would say it's vital.
It's vital. It's like air.
Yes.
Yeah. It's air. So you do need it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I went to a restaurant about a year ago, and the table of women, they were there having a good time, and this one woman saw another woman's husband. And she was like, oh, there's Tom. And she's like, Tom, where's Tom? So she was looking at Tom. So Tom came in with his friends. And so Tom came in with his friends. She was like, I knew you was coming here. And he was like, I knew you was coming here. And she was like, well, I sent you a text. And he's like, did you? Well, I didn't get the text. And she was like, oh, whatever. And he kissed her. And he went with his friends.
Okay.
Her friends didn't speak to him. His friends did not speak to her. And that was it.
Okay.
And I was like, that would have never happened if it was a black woman. I was like, that would have never happened if it was a black woman. It would never went down like that. I don't think it would have went down like that. And if that had been me, I'd be like, what you doing here? Why you, you know, I would have been in my feelings. I would have been in my feelings. So maybe I'm black folk.
Yeah, you black folk.
I'm black folk.
I think I would have been, all right, then. Well, hold up. Can I get that credit card? Since you're here, can you let this? Yeah, he had a.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So this has been good for our inaugural show. We've shaken off the cobwebs.
Oh, my daughter's birthday. My youngest daughter, Inaya, turned 14 today, May 27th.
I remember 14.
And this is our inaugural show on her birthday.
That's awesome. Happy birthday, baby girl.
Happy birthday, baby.
And so we are going to sign off now with Love Wins with Ellison Benita. We will be back in a couple of weeks with another fun show. So hit us up on our social media, send us emails, and we look forward to talking with you next time.
Peace and blessings.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellison Benita. Until next time, put love first. Hashtag Love Wins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at lovewinswithellisandbenita@gmail.com.